Episode 1349, My Strength is My Story with Jessica Turner, Stretched Too Thin.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have with us an incredible, extraordinary woman, the mom creative, Jessica Turner. She is going to warm your heart. And you know what? We're going to talk about literally everything lifestyle. You'll want to stay tuned. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Jessica's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, Jessica and I had a really great heart-to-heart conversation. You know that whole thing that we carry around as women? Guilt? Trying to be everything to everybody? Well, she really talks about being stretched too thin. She shares some stories in her life, and she also gives advice and encouragement throughout our discussion. It really was just an honest girlfriend coffee chat time. We just did it over the airways. I really want you to listen to what she has to say, because maybe this is the time that God's knocking on your heart saying, enough is enough. You're stretched too thin. Without further ado, let's welcome in Jessica Turner, Stretched Too Thin. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a marketing professional in the house today, along with the mom creative. Yes, Jessica Turner is in the house. She is a wife of Matthew of 14 years and a mom to their three beautiful children. Jessica is the founder of the popular lifestyle blog, The Mom Creative. When she's not sharing her thoughts with the world, Jessica is an award-winning marketing professional, sought-after speaker, and freelance writer. She's been featured in numerous media outlets like The Today Show, O Magazine, Pregnancy and Newborn Magazine, Better Homes and Gardens, and Inc.com. Jessica is also an author of the Wall Street Journal best-selling book, The Fringe Hours, and her brand new book, Stretch Too Thin, How Working Moms Can Lose the Guilt, Work Smarter, and Thrive. If you're tired of being stretched too thin and your middle name is busy, well, today you're in the right place. Welcome, Jessica, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, I am absolutely thrilled. It's time that we kind of bury the hatchet of trying to be everything to everybody. And stretch too thin is something that really hits home for you.
Yeah, I think it hits home with all of us. Like you so graciously introduced with my story, I'm a working mom with three kids, and I feel stretched too thin sometimes.
You surveyed over 2,000 working moms.
That's right. The survey showed that more than 2,000 working moms from around America, and over and over and over again, the drumbeat of their answers was that I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm stretched too thin in my marriage, in my work, in my parenting, in how I'm taking care of myself. And so I am excited about this book. I think that it's a conversation that we need to be having today.
Most definitely. I totally agree with you. Well, before we dive into your book, I want to chat a little bit and ask you, what brings joy to your heart?
My kids bring joy to me, of course. They're little. They're 3, 7, and 10. And so every day is an adventure, and there's silly songs and dances. And so they bring a lot of joy to me. I'm passionate about my work, and that brings me joy. I love getting to encourage other women and have really honest conversations with them. So that brings me joy. And then, you know what? Taking care of myself brings me joy. I feel like I am my best self when I'm taking care of myself and pursuing my passions and the things that I love. And so when I'm in that sweet spot and doing those things, that brings me a lot of joy as well.
Oh, that's awesome. And we're going to talk a little bit about that sweet spot, taking care of yourself for sure. Well, you started on a journey called The Mom Creative. Where did that begin?
So I started blogging in 2006. So I am a grandma in the blogging world. And at that time, it was a small little Blogspot blog where I was sharing pictures of what my husband and I were doing living in Nashville. Our family all lives out of state. So I thought it might be a nice way to connect. And I was sharing a lot of scrapbooking projects. I was really invested in the creative community there. And I got pregnant in 2007. And that was right around the time where mommy blogs were just starting to become a big thing. And I rebranded to The Mom Creative and started working with major brands and doing product reviews and travel and experiences with that. And now here we are 12 years later, still blogging, still encouraging moms around the country and really enjoying where the space has taken me.
Wow, that's incredible. That's a long time. I mean, we're talking over a decade here of your writings.
That's right. That's a lot. I have not gone back and read those writings from 2006, 2007, but I think I'd probably be mortified today.
Well, we all start somewhere. And that's what I love about your book, Stretched Too Thin. Like you mentioned earlier, you surveyed over 2,000 working moms about the challenges and the stressors they face. What was the overall theme you gleaned from that?
Well, I think the biggest theme is the title of the book, Stretched Too Thin, right? And so what came out of that survey was, yes, this is a conversation we need to be having, that women were stretched in a lot of different areas. And what they shared was what really became the foundation for the book. Each chapter of the book deals with a pain point. Boundaries at work, or taking care of your kids, or making time for friendship, or practicing self-care, managing your home, all of these different things. And so it really gave me the direction for how to tell this story and write this book.
Wow. We need to have these conversations. So I've got to ask you, what does a day in a life look like for you? Because people are saying you got it all put together, don't you? If you can write a book about it, your life is put together.
That is a lie. That is not true. If you saw my house right now, you would know, well, home management is the area she really struggles with. So every day is different, but generally speaking, during the school year, we are all up by 6. My husband and I are usually up at 5. Everyone is out the door by 7:30. My husband takes the kids to school. I go to work. I work at a large healthcare company in Nashville. And so I'm there 8:30 to 5 every day. My husband picks the kids up, and some days he's running them to soccer practice, or we're carpooling or dealing with that. I get home around 5:30 and we do dinner and homework and kid baths and story times and all of that kind of stuff. And then it's time for that last shift to maybe do a little bit of straightening up, a little bit of self-care for me. And then usually I'm in bed probably around 9:30 or 10 o'clock and then start over again the next day.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I need a nap already.
Listen, you know, I'm sure you're doing something very similar.
Well, yes, it does kind of look like that. But I think a lot of times when we're going through our lives, what we forget about is ourselves, and ourselves in the aspect of feelings. You write in chapter 3, Discovering the Feelings Within. In your book, you say, all I saw was that mommy wasn't in the picture.
Right. I think it's very easy for women, particularly moms, to put themselves last. And that is a big struggle for women. My whole first book, The Fringe Hours, Making Time for You, was about the importance of practicing self-care. And I explore that again in this book because it is something that a lot of women deal with. They feel like the only way to make space in their lives is to leave themselves out, when that's really the absolute worst thing you can do. It's that oxygen mask philosophy. You have to be taking care of yourself before you can take care of everyone else and everything else. So that's something that is really important to me and something that I talk a lot about with women across the country at speaking events and on podcasts like this, about the importance of making time for practicing self-care.
It is so important. And then the crazy thing is, though, is we tend to kind of make ourselves hang out in a habitat of mom guilt. This guilt. We built this great shelter and it's all out of guilt. And it's awesome because we kind of feel comfortable there. We know what it feels like. And we're not dealing with those feelings. You have 3 jobs. You work in corporate, you run your own business, and on top of that, you run a household. How do you personally deal with the mom guilt?
Honestly, I don't regularly suffer from mom guilt, but I can say that when I have had those experiences of feeling guilty, because certainly I have, I try to recognize where that guilt is coming from. And I think that's really important. Guilt can be a great teacher for us. You know, if I'm feeling guilty about missing a string of soccer games with my kids, well, then maybe I need to look at, is there a way for me to reconfigure my work schedule so that I can make those? Now, is that guilt self-imposed? If it's self-imposed, what is the root of that? Why am I putting that on myself? And I'm able to usually quite quickly come to the conclusion that, you know what, this is not true. I'm dwelling on something that has no bearing in my life, that my kids don't see. I am a great mom. And when I'm able to refocus, I'm able to quickly put that guilt aside. And I think that's something that is a learned process and something that is going to be uniquely different for each one of us.
Yes, that learning thing is the kicker. We come at it with the aspect of, oh, I have to know everything. I have to nurture. I have to love. I have to uplift. I bear the burden on my shoulders for absolutely everything that happens in my household, including to your spouse. And I just don't get why moms continue. And this is a subject that we do talk about, but we don't get real and raw down to the truth. And so we kind of brush over those feelings of, oh, I'm kind of feeling guilty. It's more of, you won't believe what she did today. And we interpret it more within the situation, but we don't begin to acknowledge, you know, that really hurt me. When she talked to me in that tone of voice, my daughter who's 5 years old, what was she thinking? I don't understand. The mom who's sitting there kind of suffering in that kind of maybe teeter-tottering a little bit, what would you tell her? What advice would you give her to help remove that burden from her shoulders?
I think it is very important to be honest with your child. If your child is the one who has spoken ugly to you, and use that as a teachable moment for how that made you feel. I think it's also important to look to a spouse or a friend or another family member, like your mom or your sister or an aunt, and say, this is something that I'm struggling with. Can you help walk me through this? That you don't need to navigate that alone. I talk about the importance of counseling. I think counseling can be even a great resource. If this is something that you're really burdened with, it is not how you should be living. It's not healthy, and it isn't generous to live that way to yourself. And you deserve that love and generosity. So definitely seek out community and don't navigate it alone.
Well, definitely. You do talk about that in your book, and you all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Stretch Too Thin, How Working Moms Can Lose the Guilt, Work Smarter, and Thrive. Well, I know there are days that all of us feel stretched too thin. And the last thing we want to really do is to focus on ourselves. We're just trying to get through the motions, get through the mundane responsibilities that we carry every single day. In chapter 4, you title it Practicing Self-Care, and you say self-care is selfish. A lot of people have that opinion, not that you say that, but you're saying that people have that opinion that self-care is selfish.
I was like, what did I say?
No, you didn't say. You're actually trying to go against it. It's not really selfish. We are really lacking in this area as women, because I believe naturally we're nurturers, and we believe that we should put other people first. But it's everybody first. I mean, even like the stranger is first. The guy at the gas station is first. And it's like we only get the leftovers. How do you begin to cultivate self-care in your life?
You have to make it a priority. That has to be the number one step, is to say, you know what? I matter, my passions matter, my body matters, and this is now going to be on the list. And not only is it going to be on the list, but it's going to be at the top of the list. And put that line in the sand, make that doctor's appointment, go for that walk, take a bath, read a book, go out with friends. You know, I hear from women who say, gosh, I feel really guilty when I leave my house. I've been working all day and I'm going out with friends. Listen, your kids need to see that you are a well-rounded being who has a need for friendship, who needs to take care of their bodies. They are not suffering if one night you are not at home. So make yourself number one and go ahead and get started.
Well, you experienced this somewhat. You struggled with health issues. It happened after, if I remember correctly, having three children, and you were experiencing severe back pain. Can you share a little bit of that story?
Sure. So I had three kids, and I was having low back pain all the time. I remember I would bend over to pick up the laundry, and I would come up and be like, I couldn't catch my breath just to pick up that, you know, square laundry basket. And then on top of it, I come from a long line of well-endowed women. And so I was having a lot of neck and shoulder pain that comes with all of that goodness that I had, like my mama. And the combination meant that I was having migraines all the time, neck pain, and then this low back pain and lack of breath. And not that I was working out very much. It's never been my strong suit to be an athletic individual. But when I would try, I had no core strength. And I went and saw a specialist who diagnosed with me with diastasis recti, which is a splitting of the abdomen muscles. Mine were severely torn. I had a four-finger split, it's called, so I could literally stick my hand through my abdominal muscles. And I went through PT, but honestly, my physician said, you're never going to be able to fix a four-inch hole by doing, you know, some different PT exercises. And so I opted to have a breast reduction, which was covered by insurance, and a tummy tuck, which includes a diastasis repair at the same time. And it was life-changing. I immediately could breathe when I bent over, and the back pain was gone, and the headaches dramatically decreased. And it really was transformative, but I had to make the space to do that. It's a pretty major surgery. I was out of work for 6 weeks, and the recovery process is 6 to 9 months, honestly. But I'm so glad that I did it, that I didn't wait to do it. And it's made me a better mom and a healthier individual because I made the space to do that.
And for you to step out like that, a lot of moms out there, women in general, are suffering. They're truly suffering because they're not making the doctor's appointments. They're like, oh, I can make do. I'm going to pop this pain reliever and all will be well. You said no at one point in your life, and it just became a pivotal moment. How and what do you think that decision for you has taught your children?
Well, honestly, it's probably taught them that surgery is not abnormal because I had that surgery. And then a year later, I had a hysterectomy. And the hysterectomy actually was something that I did need to do for a while. So I've also been in the camp where I waited a long time. And it just got to a point where I couldn't wait anymore, but it felt, you know, too overwhelming to do another big surgery, another 6 weeks out of work and that sort of thing. But I think that it has taught them. They've seen their mom going to the doctor, and they've seen their mom taking care of herself. And they've seen that, you know, mommy had to have this done because she had a hole in her tummy. That's how we explained it, that, you know, growing you big babies made a hole in mommy's tummy and I have to get it fixed. They were little, so it's hard to say what they will take away from it. But I know that me being able to be very open and honest about these surgeries has encouraged other women from around the country. I've had emails from all across America from women who have gone and seen their own surgeons and had similar surgeries and are feeling remarkably better and have someone be able to honestly talk about it. So all of those things have been powerful, I think.
What really shifted for you? I mean, because this is recent. This isn't like 10 years ago you did this. This has been a more recent surgery and procedure. What has shifted for you now since then in your self-care?
Honestly, I would have done that surgery sooner had I needed it sooner. I had to finish nursing before I could have that breast procedure, and I knew that I wanted to do it at the same time for it to be expeditious. So it's not so much that there was a shift in my self-care, but certainly I think that it's made me an advocate for women to take good care of their bodies. I think that when I thought about self-care maybe earlier in adulthood, it seemed to be more around the idea of passion projects and things that I really enjoyed doing, whereas now I look at it more holistically and thinking about the body and thinking about the mind and spirituality and those types of things instead of self-care just being massages and hobbies, you know? So it's a broader definition for me, I think, than it used to be.
That's a very good point, Jessica, is that I do think we limit ourselves by the definition we place on the word. And I would challenge women out there that if you're wondering, well, what's self-care? What does that really mean? Well, write down what you think it means and then go out and do some research. What do you think it should mean in your life? Because again, what you think of self-care may be different than what I think of self-care. So very, very good point. You all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Stretch Too Thin, How Working Moms Can Lose the Guilt, Work Smarter, and Thrive. Well, I've got to ask you this, because I know in your book you talk about being a Christian. Where did God show up in your life when it came to teaching you to thrive?
I think when we think about scripture and it says, love your neighbor as yourself, I mean, it's very clear that the only way you can love people well is if you are doing that yourself. So if you're doing a really poor job of taking care of yourself, then you are not going to do a great job in any of your other roles. And I've seen that to be very true in my own story time and time again.
And it's not something easy that we do. I know me personally, I struggle with it. I have 5 children. I feel like I'm on the go all the time, juggling one thing or another. And you know, if it's not one mess you're cleaning up, you're trying to think of another blessing, but it's really another mess. And you're like, where in the world, when will this stop? But God has a way of meeting us where we're at and just being able to pick us up off the floor. And I love that when you say we've got to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we've got to take that to heart because it's God breathed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's also important to recognize, you talked about being really busy, that there are seasons of busyness. It talks about seasons in Ecclesiastes. And I think that when we recognize, man, this season seems like it is winter on Game of Thrones and it's going to be forever, right? That maybe there is something that needs a change, because seasons are supposed to change. And so if you are in a season of constant being stretched too thin and feeling overwhelmed, then that's not a season. That's a choice that you're making, and you need to make a different choice so that you are not living in that state of being stretched too thin. And that's what I really hope people come away with when they read the book, is here are some takeaways from my life and whatever those pain points are, where I can go from barely surviving to really thriving.
And I love that you point that out. In the back of every chapter, you have a section called Reflections. And I'm flipping to one here. Reflections, like on your feelings. Here's one. And it just allows you to dive a little bit deeper into it, giving you that space to say, okay, this is where I'm at. You don't have to go get another journal, which I would encourage if you're really, you know, struggling in one of these chapters. I mean, you go through and talk about evaluating your present, setting yourself up for success, investing in your marriage, finding rhythm at work, parenting well. You cover life. It's a lifestyle here when you write your book, Stretch Too Thin. If you could erase something in your life, what guilt do you wish you could erase?
That is a big question that I should have been prepared for ahead of time. What guilt would I erase? Man, I can't think of one specific thing, but I think what I would want to erase are the periods where I really dwelled in guilt, where I sat in it. And I think I did that more earlier in my mothering journey than I do now. But that I would just take that away and remind myself that I'm a great mom, that my kids are thriving and happy and well-loved. And those moments where I felt like I was doing everything wrong, that I was just torturing myself. And I'd like for me to not do that next time around.
We do tend to torture ourselves very easily. We carry that torture torch all the time. Like, I'm going to get you. Instead of getting our children and tickling them and loving them. And I think it's important what you mention, and the word that you use is moments. They're moments. Mm-hmm. And focusing that it's a moment, that this too shall pass, is very important. You write about it in your book, that we go through seasons. But if you're hanging out in every season and you're feeling the same thing all the time, that is a red flag. You mentioned that before. It is a red flag. And I would encourage those who are dealing with that, because we don't talk a lot about our mentality when it comes to mental illness. And it's kind of a hush-hush subject. And in that hush-hush subject, I think we're just afraid as to what we might find even within ourselves, because we identify with what others are doing behind closed doors, you know, in our own closed doors.
Right.
I would encourage people to go out, seek out a counselor, go to your church, find a pastor, someone there that you can confide in and talk about it, because I believe that's also another torch that is very silent. And we are eating ourselves up when it comes to working moms out there.
Yeah, and that just breaks my heart. And that's what I really tried to do with Stretch Too Thin, not only in the surveying of the women, but there's more than 50 interviews that I conducted with one-on-one, just kind of diving deep into these topics. And so I hope that no matter what type of job the women have who are reading this book, that they'll see the glimpses of themselves and know that they're not alone.
Yes, and you share so many stories. That's why people are going to want their own copy, because you're going to want to read these stories. We can't go over every single one. We'd be here for a little while. I mean, I would enjoy it, but it would be a long conversation. And people need to get the book, and they need to be able to write in it. I'm still kind of old school, pen to paper, connects with the mind, it connects with the heart, which then connects with the soul. And it's just, it's imperative, in my opinion. And so I love how you formatted your book, how you've set it up. Well, for the working mom who wants to take the first step to lose that guilt, what would you tell them, that first baby step?
I think recognize where that guilt is coming from. Is there one area, like, are you always feeling guilty about your home? Are you always feeling guilty about the time you're away? Like, figure out what that guilt pain point is so that you can identify maybe some ways to change and embrace your current situation or do something different so that guilt is not rearing its head all the time.
Yeah, that's important, that we definitely need to find that guilt pain point, because we'll find a pattern. When we begin looking at it, when we become self-aware, we begin to find that pattern. Well, today we sit here, you've written this book. What still challenges you on a daily basis? Is it the house?
It's the house. Yeah. So the survey showed that 4 out of 5 working moms struggled with self-care and struggled with home management. I'm really good on the self-care, but the home management issue, I mean, it's just a hot mess. All the time, it feels like. And, you know, certainly, as I talk about in the book, there are organization strategies that we've put in place that things are better than they used to be, but I just never feel on top of it, ever. And I think it's because, you know, I'm out of the house 40 hours a week. My kids are in sports. I'm just not at home very much. So, yeah, the house, I just do not have a Pinterest pretty house. I mean, if you're coming over for a video shoot, like, we're going to stay in the one room where I have prepped. Like, there's no home tours going on at my house, that's for sure.
Oh, but I bet it would be fun to have home tours. You should do that on your Instagram story.
I have posted pictures of disasters in my house before, and it's funny how those are sometimes the most popular pictures on my Instagram, because people are like, yes, me too. I think that, you know, we need to be honest about those things. So I'll go first and say my house is a hot mess.
Well, and I do believe that we've got this Me Too movement when it comes to our home management systems. And I think we try to play this idea of the perfect Pinterest house, which you write about in chapter 8, creating a home you love. Women are challenged by their home. We know that. You know, we actually kind of keep people out of our home because we are challenged by our home. You have a chapter in the book that I just mentioned, Creating a Home You Love, and you write, I have a lot of shame about my home. I cannot stay on top of the cleaning and the maintenance. For the woman who's drowning in laundry, she has dishes piled too high. What would you tell that woman today?
You are not alone. That's what I would tell her. But I think there's also great advice in that chapter. So I go on to then say, from experts who are really good at these things, you know, start with that one thing. So if you're drowning in dishes, then start with the dishes. Like, figure out a way to get on top of the dishes. And you know what? Maybe that's using paper plates once a day so that then there's less dishes to do, you know? So I think figuring out what those challenges are so that then you can better manage them. Sometimes it involves hiring professionals. In my case, I just bring my mom in because she did not give me the gift that she has herself for managing a home well. And so she will come to Nashville and play with the grandkids and then help me organize a closet or that sort of thing. So don't be unwilling to get professional help if that's what you need. Get rid of stuff too. I mean, every time a big box comes into our house, we fill it up and take it to Goodwill. So that's a great thing. If things are coming in, that other things need to be going out.
Well, I love that you say that, because you talk about, you know, we have the conveniences of Target and Amazon and all these other, you know, we get buttons to push and it just 2 weeks later, it ends up at our door when we need it. It's fabulous. But what you also write in your book is that you have a box that you keep. I don't know where you keep it. Maybe you can tell us the secret of where it's kept, because I'm trying to think, how can I disguise this box and keep it like that? When something's not fitting anymore, the kids go and they place it in the box. Now, if they're too young, a two-year-old's not going to know what's not fitting. So, Mama, you're going to have to work a little bit harder on hers. But as they grow older into elementary, middle school, and high school, even college, if they're still hanging out with you, mine are, you know, it's important that we begin to get rid of, and also understanding that this blesses others. So where is your box hidden?
It is in my bedroom. So we usually keep it up there because that's where I feel like the kids are constantly throwing clothes anyway. So we can just throw the things that are too small there.
Well, that's great. I love that one because I do a lot of donations and I think it's important that we weed out. You say when you bring in one box, the another box is going out because we're not going to keep bringing in, because we get actually stuck in our own clutter. How can we begin to declutter our home without feeling overwhelmed?
I think you have to start with one particular area. So don't think, oh my goodness, my whole house is a disaster. I need to purge the entire house. Instead, start with the closet, start with the cabinet, start with just one small area and then move on to something else. That's the best advice. And it will be significantly less overwhelming if you do it in that way.
I agree with you. We just recently moved cross country down south, and it was kind of a crazy move. And I always was talking about my linen closet before we moved. And it was this linen closet that, you know, you open up and you're like, please do not fall out on me, because it was just so jam-packed with everything from baby stuff that I had to keep all the way to I need dish towels tomorrow. We do need to just start one place, and maybe it's a linen closet, maybe it's your dishes. I love it. Okay, so in writing your book, I think God has a way of kind of instructing us as we put pen to paper. What was the greatest lesson you learned about you?
Gosh, this is another one. You're just hitting me with all these phenomenal questions. The greatest lesson I learned about me. I think I can't say that I learned it, but I was reminded how much my story is like so many other women's. Like, we are not that different. So while I might work in corporate America and have a lifestyle blog, and someone else might be a police officer, and someone else might work at Target, our struggles are all the same. The pain points are all the same. And I think that it is always powerful when you can see your story and someone else's story, and when you can be reminded that we're on this journey together and you're not alone. And over again, as I wrote the book, that's what I was reminded of, that I am not alone in this. And it felt like such a privilege to write a book that was hopefully going to encourage other women in that same message of you are not alone.
I know people will be encouraged when they pick up their own copy of Stretched Too Thin, How Working Moms Can Lose the Guilt, Work Smarter, and Thrive. And let me just encourage you, if you're wondering, oh, maybe I'll pick this up for myself, I would say pick up two copies and gift one. Because I know you've got a girlfriend out there that's going, you know, it's probably on your ear all the time going, you won't believe, or she's texting you, I can't believe this happened. Yeah. Pick it up and give her a copy and work it together. I think it would be great to actually do a study with it within just a close group, a small group of women coming together. You get accountability there. You get unconditional love, I pray. And you would just find this camaraderie there. What do you think about that?
I love that idea. I think that it is perfect for that. I think every chapter can stand on its own two feet. So if you just want to, you know, dive into talking about this topic of home management like we've been doing, or you want to talk about marriage, you could just even use just one chapter from the book as a conversation starter. But I think it's phenomenal to go through it with other people, because again, that community of not being alone is so vivid in this book, and it would just be a phenomenal resource.
I completely agree. And I think people really do need to jump in on it, because it just helps to declutter. It declutters our mind. When we've got all this stuff going on, and women, we're wired differently. Our brains are wired differently. The way our neurons connect versus the way men's connect, how many cross from the right to the left, we are totally wired differently. That's great. God made us that way for a reason, but it also can be something that stops us and holds us back to being the woman that God really has designed to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that you'll see this again and again in talking about these topics with other women.
Yes. Now, you mentioned marriage, and I think that's a really good point, because our spouses, some of the girlfriends, they kind of go and they talk about their spouse. And it's those conversations that are like, oh, you won't believe that he did this to me. I just can't believe it. And we've really got to be intentional with marriage. And I believe, unfortunately, marriage in some homes are not a priority. That relationship is like, it'll be there when I can get to it. You know, it's like next to the last, right before your self-care. Mm-hmm. What would you say to that woman who is kind of struggling with the idea of, my marriage isn't perfect, I want to support my spouse, but I don't know, I just don't know?
It is definitely hard, particularly when you're in a season where you are working and parenting and then needing to take care of yourself and invest in another relationship. And honestly, the most important relationship in your life is the one with your spouse if you're married, because guess what? Your kids are going to go away someday, a little longer it seems like for you, but your kids are going to go. They're going to fly the nest, and you're going to be left with your spouse. And I talked with women. He said, you know, it's amazing how many of my friends got divorced after 20, 30 years when their kids all left, because they realized how little they had in common with one another. And so you've got to make it a priority, even if it's something as simple as at home Sunday night date nights, right, where the kids go to bed or the kids are in a different part of the house and you're going to have your own meal, you're going to watch a show together, you know, just talk to one another about something beyond schedules and finances. And so it's very, very important to make that time and that investment in that relationship.
Oh, definitely. 100% agree. And from a person who has just recently moved to a community, we haven't even been here barely 6 months, and it's hard making new friends. You have a whole section about community, cultivating friendships, and you give some great examples. Whether you're single or married, I really believe this book is for you. And if you're like, I don't even know where to begin, start in that chapter, because you know, maybe you don't have a lot of close friends, but maybe you can go to a church or you can meet them. You even mentioned using your kids' classes and your volunteer work at their school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much opportunity to interact with other adults around our kids, right? Whether it's your kids' soccer activities like my kids, or it is PTO, or it's just school events where you're meeting other parents. Don't be shy. Don't, you know, just sit on your phone. Look up and talk to the people around you and cultivate some real community. You can absolutely develop amazing friendships from the kids that your kids are friends with.
Yes, and we need those friendships, because we're lacking in that. We're lacking that personal connection. You know, our personal connection, if you were just to go look at your text and just read them, they're kind of boring. And if we didn't have emojis, what would our text really look like? And so really having that connection is key. Also, you made a point, you had mentioned back on the home management section about hiring out, having professionals come in. Another thought, especially if we have single moms that are listening and they're like, I just don't have the resources, I can't do this. One thing is, if you do have a small group of you, then you guys can kind of exchange. Maybe a couple of you watch all the kids that are in your group at one time, and a couple others go and help one gal out. And you go and organize that linen closet. I so would have loved that. You know, just want, and have a glass of wine with it, or make it a pizza party, or, you know, whatever it is. But there are creative ways that you can come together, creating that community. and also supporting. And even with married couples, I know babysitting has gone up since I was working as a babysitter.
Me too. I wish I was babysitting now.
I know. I'm like, really? That's why I had lots of kids. By the time the one got old, you know, old enough to babysit, I was like, okay, well, you're watching them and I don't have to pay you because they're your siblings. They got other privileges, but still.
Right.
But it is something that we need to think about. It's kind of doing a barter system and just an exchange out of love. You know, love thy neighbors, like you were saying, as yourself. We can do this to help one another.
Absolutely. And there's lots of services too that, you know, Amazon Prime and, you know, shopping on Target.com and those types of things that can even streamline that really aren't extra or not a whole lot extra that can make a huge difference too.
Definitely. And you got to kind of experiment with it. You know, if you're in a rural area, it may not work as well, but there are other ways that you can do it and utilize the services that are out there. You have to be creative. And that's what I love about your book is that I don't consider it just self-help, you know, that kind of term. I know we have to categorize everything, but I don't want to put your book just in that category. I think it is something that is, as a working mom, it's a working book. And I think it's something that we can take and step into and actually begin to implement slowly, you know, one step at a time.
Thank you for saying that. I hope so. It was created in that way, right? Every chapter could be its own book. There's plenty of books about marriage. There's plenty of books about parenting. This book is really geared toward the working mom who feels overwhelmed, who could use some practical tips and advice and Me Too type stories that are going to affirm where she is in her journey and help her to really thrive in her life.
Oh, that is beautiful. What is your, if you had like the ultimate hope, all authors have like that secret when they're writing their book and they kind of get to the end or back to the middle or wherever you end up in writing your script. What is that like ultimate secret you want that woman to capture in their heart?
She has value, that her story matters, that her passions matter, and that the life she is creating is hers to create, and so that she doesn't need to look left and right and be bogged down by guilt and comparison, that the yearnings of her heart are enough to make a beautiful life.
Oh, okay. That just dropped the mic there. That is beautiful. And I really hope people will take it to heart. I do believe there is a lot of kind of talk that's work-life balance and all of that. I don't believe that there is a balance. That word is kind of a threat, in my opinion. Kind of comes along with the whole idea of comparison, jealousy. It can actually work against us. And if we would just take a moment and say, what do I need? What works for me as an individual? What works for you as an individual? Then we'll be able to see that we don't have to be stretched too thin any longer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you besides just picking up their own copy of Stretch Too Thin. Where can they find you?
I am very active on Instagram. You can find me there at Jessica N. Turner. That's also my handle for Twitter. If you like book recommendations, I also have a book Instagram called Book Snobbery, which is a really fun account. And then on Facebook, you can find me at facebook.com/themomcreative. And you can get more information about the book at stretchedtoothinbook.com.
Awesome. And we will have all those links for you in the show notes so they are readily available to your fingertips. We want to make your life a little bit easier. I mean, come on. We don't need to stretch too thin at all, except to pick up your own copy. Well, before I let you go, Jessica, I have one last question for you. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
I think my story has gifted me with so many incredible relationships that I never would have expected as I set out into adulthood and thought about what my life would look like. It is the people in it that has made it far more beautiful than I ever could have dreamt.
Wow. Do you have either a Bible verse or a quote you want to leave the listeners today?
You know, my favorite scripture verse has been one since I was very young, and it's Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And I think having that kind of in my background and as part of my story, that there's nothing that I can't handle, that I have the strength to do that because of the strength that the Lord gives me. And that is something that's a powerful reminder to me, even on the days when I feel really stretched too thin.
Well, I appreciate these reminders, these gentle reminders that you give us in your new book. And I know you all will be delighted when you pick up your own copy. Thank you so much, Jessica, for joining us today.
It was my great joy. Thank you for having me.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.